Thank you for tuning in to the Golden State Media Concepts Bible Study Podcast. I'm your host, Sarah. If you're listening for the first time, welcome, and I am so happy that you found us. If you are a returning listener, welcome back, and thank you so much for joining me again. As with prior weeks, we will again be looking at the lectionary text assigned for this week, the week of July 17th, 2016. The lectionary texts, as I've mentioned before, are divided into readings from the Old Testament, the Psalms, the New Testament, and the Gospels. This episode is split into two parts, and in this first part, we'll be talking about the Old Testament reading from Genesis, as well as the Psalm, Psalm 15. Both of this week's Old Testament texts got me to thinking more about my relationship with God and how I experience God in everyday life. The Genesis text specifically got me to thinking about God's timing and God's promises, while the Psalm got me to thinking about what it means to encounter God and how those encounters have changed and do change my life in both big and small ways. And I'm wondering what your experiences have been like. When are there times in your life when God's timing was so very hard to understand, and how did those experiences resolve themselves? Or are you still in the midst of those experiences, wondering if God's timing will ever match up with your own? Also, I'm wondering, where are the places in your life where you encounter God the most meaningfully? Is it something that you are conscious of at the time that it's happening? Is it something that you're conscious of in your place of worship? These are some of the questions that we'll be looking at today, and I'm excited to get started with you, but first we do have to take a quick break, and when we come back, we'll be talking about this week's text from Genesis 18. So stay tuned, and we'll be right back.
Want to find out what movies to go see? Then check out the GSMC Movie Podcast. It's your ticket to the latest movies, whether it's a new blockbuster event, romantic, comedy, or action flick. This show has got it all covered. They talk some what to go see now. Don't bother. What's hot on Netflix and everything in between? That's gsmcpodcast.com/movie-podcast. When it's all about the movies, it has to be this new show. Don't forget to like them on Facebook and follow them on Twitter. Visit gsmcpodcast.com for more info.
Welcome back to the Golden State Media Concepts Bible Study Podcast. As I mentioned before the break, the first text that we will be discussing today is from the 18th chapter of the book of Genesis, and that's verses 1 through 10a. The Lord appeared to Abraham by the oaks of Mamre, as he sat at the entrance of his tent in the heat of the day. Abraham looked up and saw three men standing near him. When he saw them, he ran from the tent entrance to meet them and bowed down to the ground. He said, "My Lord, if I find favor with you, do not pass by your servant. Let a little water be brought, and wash your feet, and rest yourselves under the tree. Let me bring a little bread that you may refresh yourselves, and after that you may pass on, since you have come to your servant." So they said, "Do as you have said." And Abraham hastened to the tent to Sarah and said, "Make ready quickly 3 measures of choice flour, knead it, and make cakes." Abraham ran to the herd and took a calf, tender and good, and gave it to the servant, who hastened to prepare it. Then he took curds and milk and the calf that he had prepared and set it before them. And he stood by them under the tree while they ate. They said to him, "Where is your wife Sarah?" And Abraham said, "There, in the tent." Then one said, "I will surely return to you in due season, and your wife Sarah shall have a son." If you aren't familiar with this story, it's always good to have a little bit more context. So at this point in their lives, Abraham and Sarah have put their faith and trust in God for many things, including packing up their entire lives and their family and their servants and everything that they had, and trusting God, following God's call to a completely new land that God had called them to. They had put a lot of their trust in God already up until this point. They've put their faith in God, and God has promised Abraham that his descendants will be more numerous than the stars in the sky or the grains of sand on the beach. It's really amazing when you think about that. If you look up at the stars or think about just the millions, billions of grains of sand on a beach, God has promised Abraham that his descendants will be that numerous. But at this point, Abraham and Sarah have gotten very old, certainly past childbearing years for Sarah, and they have no children. And yet, here we have, at the very last verse of this week's text, the promise reiterated by these three strangers. Since it's the last verse, it's not the focus necessarily of this section of the text, but it is really important. I mean, we kind of leave, it's almost a cliffhanger, because these three strangers come and they say, your wife Sarah will have a son, and then the text ends. And of course, we can read on and see Sarah's reaction and see what happens next, but for this week's purposes, we're just left with this promise after these three strangers appear. And first, if you're looking at this in terms of the text that we have the significance of the place, Mamre, which is where Abraham built an altar to God after God and Abraham had renewed their covenant. So God and Abraham have their promises, have their covenant. God has promised all of these things to Abraham and Sarah, that his descendants will be numerous, etc. And so this place is important because after they've renewed their covenant with one another, Abraham has built an altar to God here. It's an important place, and its significance reminds us of the promises that God and Abraham have made to one another. Another thing to notice about this first verse is that it's framed as an encounter with the Lord. Abraham is sitting in his tent, we're told, but then it's an encounter with the Lord, even though the three men are described as strangers to Abraham, and we're told it's three men who arrive. But we, as readers, have the insight given to us by that first verse that this is, in fact, an encounter with God. So we know that we need to pay attention to the details after this because it's an encounter with the Lord. So we need to find out what is going to happen, how Abraham is going to respond, etc. One of those details, which it might be a little bit uncomfortable for some people listening, the detail is that part of the covenant between God and Abraham is that Abraham, and not just Abraham, but all of the men with him, have just been circumcised. So just take a moment to take that in. Here we have Abraham, who understandably now we know why he's reclining in his tent at the beginning of these verses. It's not just because it's the heat of the day that is a factor, but he's reclining in the tent. He's 99 years old at this point, we're told, and he has just been circumcised. So it's totally understandable that he's reclining and resting. That's a lot of trust in God, folks. And yet, when the three strangers appear, he exemplifies hospitality by getting up and running toward them. As you know, I read commentaries, and I like to share parts of the commentaries with you that I find interesting or helpful. And I like the way that Samuel, I'm going to butcher his last name, I am so sorry, sir, it's G-I-E-R-E, so I'm so sorry. Samuel, we'll go with that. He's the associate professor of homiletics and biblical interpretation at Wartburg Theological Seminary. So if any of you out there from Wartburg are listening, could you please tell me how to pronounce your professor's last name, because I feel really bad. Anyway, I'm just going to refer to him as Samuel. Again, I apologize. But he describes Abraham's actions like this. He says, suffice it to say, the physical mark of the covenant does not prevent Abraham from extending lavish hospitality. The washing of feet, rest, freshly baked cakes, a roasted calf, curds, and milk. Abraham assured that these guests were welcomed most properly. And then he continues, as this gesture of hospitality reaches a crescendo, the travelers speak. They ask after Sarah, knowing her name and relation, presumably without meeting her, because she hasn't come out of the tent yet. This is still Samuel writing. They are reclining under the tree. Sarah is in the tent. With the opening words of Genesis 18:1 spilling now forward, it is at this point when the reader's left eyebrow might just rise up a bit, questioning who these visitors are. The verb shifts from plural to singular, as one of the visitors states that next year, when this visitor wanders through again, Sarah will have a child. Dear menopausal Sarah, rightly so, chuckles to herself with a hint of sadness at something so foolish. To paraphrase her words, I'm old. Abe's old. The dream of such a happy thing has long since faded. With left eyebrow still raised, the reader now hears explicitly, the Lord said to Abraham. The identity of this particular visitor is revealed, Yahweh. To be sure, this raises far more questions than it answers, but it calls out from the page for us to explore. The episode comes to a conclusion with Sarah's denial of her laughter at the promise's absurdity. Abraham remains silent at this point. Both are passive. The Lord, however, hurls a question into the midst of the narrative, which echoes throughout the whole of Genesis 18 and orients the whole. Is anything too wonderful for the Lord? And that's Genesis 18, verse 14, which is actually a bit beyond where we've read because we read up through verse 10a, if you remember. So this professor, Samuel, in his commentary has gone a little bit further, which I appreciate because it does give us Sarah's reaction to this news. Sarah's in the tent and she hears this news from the three strangers and the one who says, the next time I come this way, Sarah will have a son. And Sarah laughs. So as I said, we've gone a few verses further than the assigned reading, but I think it's good because it is a bit of, as I said, it's a bit of a cliffhanger, so it's a bit of a dun-dun-dun moment with no follow-up otherwise. And I personally have always appreciated Sarah's response to this announcement. We know, of course, that God keeps God's promises, and we know that God keeps God's promise in this case, because if we've done any study before, we know how this story goes. We know that God keeps God's promises, and Sarah and Abraham do have a son, whom they name Isaac, which appropriately means laughter. And this, to me, shows some humor and some humanness in this story. Sarah laughs at the stranger's announcement, knowing at this point that she is too old to have a child, that Abraham is possibly too old to father a child. We don't know, especially since he's been through a difficult experience recently in terms of his covenant with God. Let's just leave it at that. We could consider Sarah's laughter a lack of faith in God's promise, and maybe it was, but I find it understandable under these circumstances, and it really does make Sarah a whole lot more relatable to me. For me, this story reminds me that God's timing is often very difficult to perceive and to understand. And on that note, I'm going to have to take a quick break. It's time for a break. But when we come back, I do want to talk more about God's promises, God's timing, our own reaction and response to this timing, and how we perceive what God's timing is and how it's different from our own. So stay tuned and we will be right back.
Tired of searching the vast jungle of podcasts? Now listen close and hear this out. There's a podcast network that covers just about everything that you've been searching.
Hey!
The Golden State Media Concepts Podcast Network is here. Nothing less than a podcast bliss with endless hours of podcast coverage. From news, sports, music, fashion, cooking, entertainment, fantasy, football, and so much more. So stop lurking around and go straight out to the Golden State Media Concepts Podcast Network. Guaranteed to fill that podcast itch. Whatever it may be. Visit us at www.gsmcpodcast.com. Follow us on Facebook and Twitter. And download us on iTunes, SoundCloud, and Google Play.
Welcome back to the Golden State Media Concepts Bible Study Podcast. Before the break, we were talking about this story from Genesis with the three strangers who arrive, to whom Abraham shows lavish hospitality, and we were talking about God's timing. And before I talk about God's timing a little bit more, I just want to draw your attention back to something that we talked about in a recent episode. So if you're a returning listener, you might have heard this episode where we were talking about the woman of the city in a gospel story who came in, found Jesus, washed his feet with her tears and dried them with her hair, kissed his feet, anointed him with oil, etc. And she showed this lavish hospitality. And Jesus said to the host that the host hadn't shown him this hospitality, but this woman who had nothing, who was considered to be a sinner, showed him the hospitality that his own host didn't show him. And this hospitality has its roots, as you see here in the Old Testament. You see that these are strangers that appear. Abraham isn't at his best physically. He's just been circumcised. He's probably feeling uncomfortable. It's the heat of the day when everyone is resting, and yet it doesn't stop him from jumping up and showing lavish hospitality. I mean, he brings them water, he washes their feet, he brings them the proverbial fatted calf for them to eat. And so we get this encounter, and I just wanted to make that connection for you, for those of you who are returning listeners. But back to Sarah, back to God's timing. We know that God always keeps God's promises, but sometimes our own human impatience can get in the way of our remembering that, of knowing, really knowing that God keeps God's promises. And so Sarah's laughter is human and normal, but God remains faithful and fulfills the promise given. Which brings me back to Dr. Greer's question of summation. Is anything too wonderful for God? And of course, you know, the answer is no. The easy answer is no. God's promises know no limit, and God always keeps promises. The problem for us as imperfect, sinful humans is to actually remember these things. I know for myself, when I'm in the middle of life's problems and difficulties, that it can be hard to remember the bigger picture, to even see the bigger picture, to remember God's promises, because I'm so focused on myself. I'm so focused on my own issues, on my own problems, and it can be hard to remember that God's timing doesn't always match up with ours. So I can relate to Sarah's laughter because in it, I can imagine a lot of what she was possibly feeling. And we can put ourselves into her shoes. We can imagine what she might have been feeling. She might have been bitter that the promise wasn't fulfilled and probably wouldn't be, at least in her mind, because she is old, past childbearing years. She very easily could have been angry at God for the lack of the fulfillment of this promise. She might have been feeling forgotten by God. God had promised her a child, and now she was beyond the age where she thought that that was possible. And yet, with God, all things are possible. I know for myself, I struggle with God's timing and with God's plan. I'm impatient, and I want things when I want them. I don't always want to wait for God's timing. I want fulfillment of promises sooner rather than later. You know, we live in a society of instant gratification, and so we're not always the greatest at being patient and waiting on someone else's timing, let alone God's timing. So I struggle. I have often fallen into some pretty unhealthy patterns of thinking when things are not going well in my own life. In the deepest parts of me, I absolutely believe that God keeps God's promises and that I am kept in God's love as a child of God. And yet, at my darkest moments in life, I have felt at times as though I have been abandoned by God, that God has maybe forgotten me. Maybe God has so many other beloved children that I've just, you know, fallen through the cracks. And it sounds a little melodramatic, but maybe you've been there yourself, where you're so deep in despair, where you're so deep in your own struggle, that it just feels like God's promises can't be for me. That God has so much on God's plate with everything going on in the world, that my little insignificant problem can't be that important. After all, I am pretty insignificant in the grand scheme of things. Why would God remember me? Why should God care? And the answer, of course, is because God loves me. The answer, of course, is because God loves you. God created us. God loves us, and God keeps us. God keeps God's promises. And so I totally understand Sarah's laughter. I can understand if she's feeling bitter or angry or confused or hurt or simply forgotten by God. I understand all of that. God is with us, though. Even when we're so mired in our own misery that we can't feel God's presence, even when it feels as though God has forgotten us, God has abandoned us, God made these promises and then maybe just forgot about us, God's timing is hard to understand sometimes. And for me, I'm not sure I'll ever understand even a fraction of it this side of heaven. But I can cling, and I do cling, to the promises that I have been given, because therein lies my hope. I read a quote recently from C.S. Lewis that hit home for me, that kind of spoke to what I've been speaking about. And C.S. Lewis wrote, "Faith is the art of holding on to things your reason has once accepted, in spite of your changing moods." Faith is the art of holding on to things your reason has once accepted, in spite of your changing moods. No matter my changing moods, underneath everything, I believe in God's promises. And this is faith. This is clinging to that faith, even when my moods change, when I'm so mired in despair that I feel as though God has abandoned me. Deep in the core of me, I know that God keeps God's promises. Even when I don't feel God's presence, even when I don't understand God's timing or God's plans, I have faith in God's promises. And I can cling to that faith and the hope it gives me that God's promises will always be fulfilled. And that's what I take from this story. It's about God's timing. It's about our own understanding of God's timing. And I'm going to move on now to Psalm 15. And Psalm 15 reads, "O Lord, who may abide in your tent? Who may dwell on your holy hill? Those who walk blamelessly and do what is right and speak the truth from their heart, who do not slander with their tongue and do no evil to their friends, nor take up a reproach against their neighbors, in those in whose eyes the wicked are despised, but who honor those who fear the Lord, who stand by their oath even to their hurt, who do not lend money at interest and do not take a bribe against the innocent. Those who do these things shall never be moved." So again, that's Psalm 15. That's our psalm assigned for this week in the lectionary. And I'm going to jump right in here with some commentary to give us some context on this psalm. And this context, is from J. Clinton McCann, evangelical professor of biblical interpretation at Eden Seminary in St. Louis, Missouri. And he tells us that Psalm 15 is usually categorized as an entrance liturgy. The mention of God's tent in verse 1 recalls the portable tabernacle of the wilderness era, and that's in Exodus and Numbers. But the designation can be used of the temple, which was located on Mount Zion, or God's holy hill. While we have no actual description of a ritual for entering the temple gates, it is reasonable to infer from Psalm 15, along with the similar Psalm 24, that such a ritual existed. And we do know that the temple was equipped with gatekeepers, whose responsibility it was to guard the purity of the place. And he says you can find the information on that in 2 Chronicles 23, as well as Deuteronomy 23, both 23. Given the opening question of Psalm 15 and the similar questions in Psalm 24, verse 3, it is reasonable to conclude that these two psalms functioned as responsive entrance liturgies. So God's temple was where one went to encounter and be encountered by God. And such preparation and anticipated transformation are what Psalm 15 is really about, according to this commentary. Even in its ancient setting and use, it's not likely, and again, this is still a commentary, even in its ancient setting and use, it is not likely that verses 2 through 5 functioned as a checklist of requirements. Rather, as James L. Mays says of verses 2 through 5b, it is a picture, not prescription. In other words, what these verses suggest is that worship, a genuine encounter with God and the experience of being encountered by God, will have pervasive and profound implications for personal character and conduct. That is still the case for Christians who claim to experience God directly in Jesus of Nazareth, and who affirm that they regularly encounter God and are encountered by God in the preaching and hearing of the Word, and in the real presence of God in the sacraments. In short, then and now, Psalm 15 invites the offering of our best selves to God in preparation for worship, even as we open ourselves to being further transformed by God and through worship. And I want to talk more about that. I want to talk more about this commentary and what it tells us about verse 15, but we do have to take another quick break, and when we come back, we'll continue with this conversation about Psalm 15. So stay tuned, and we'll be right back.
Do you want to be healthier, yet you just don't know what to do? All these shows telling you this and that, but nothing seems to work. Well, listen close. Golden State Media Concepts has got something great for you. The health and wellness podcast dedicated to workout trends, healthy eating habits, diet, and everything about healthy living. Join us in our banters as we help you not just live life to the fullest, but live it to the healthiest.
Welcome back to the Golden State Media Concepts Bible Study Podcast. Before the break, we were talking about Psalm 15 and this commentary from J. Clinton McCann about this entrance liturgy, that Psalm 15 can be seen as an entrance liturgy to the temple, and not as a checklist, not as a list of things that you need to do in order to be acceptable to go to the temple, but rather as a way of thinking about entering the temple in order to encounter God. It's a picture, he says, not a prescription. And I actually kind of love this description and this picture of how we are to come to worship. I think of myself going to worship throughout my life. And when I was in the parish, as a pastor, there were very specific things that I would do personally to prepare for worship. A lot of them were practical because I had to be as prepared as possible when I'm leading worship or preaching, and so there's a lot of things that I would have to do in order to be ready for that. There's a lot of things that have to be done to prepare the space, etc. So there was definitely a checklist in that case of things that I would do before worship. And now that I'm not in that leadership role, my preparation, of course, is different. And it's not very intentional when I start to think about it. And so I'm thinking of this week's text in terms of my own experience of being prepared or not prepared for going to worship. And I'm thinking about a recent experience I had of not wanting to wake up, not wanting to leave the house to go to worship. I was tired, and we have two small dogs who I call puppies, even though they're 2.5. They'll always be puppies who, you know, they like to encourage me without words to just skip church and stay home and play with them, or stay home and snuggle with them, or just stay home with the husband and hang out and have an extra cup of coffee and just chat with him. I was tired. I was a bit grumpy. I was anxious about a whole bunch of stuff that it wasn't even necessarily church related. So my mindset was not on God. It wasn't on church even. It felt like one thing that I had to do. So instead of a checklist of myself being prepared for worship, worship felt like it was on the checklist. Get up, go to church, take care of that, and you can get the other stuff done that you have to do today. But I got up, I just grabbed my coffee, I plopped myself into the car, and I drove myself to church. So, you know, on the one hand, hey, I went. That's the first step in encountering God. It's at least being open to the possibility of that encounter. But on the other hand, I wasn't really thinking about the possibility of that encounter, nor was I thinking about my own sense of self and how I felt and how amazing it is that I even get to go and encounter God, because it's pretty amazing when you think about it. It's pretty amazing when you realize that God wants to be in relationship with me. God wants to be in relationship with you. We get to encounter that amazing and loving God, and yet I know for myself I can take that for granted. And I wonder if you ever find yourself in that situation. Just getting up, trudging to church, not really thinking about what awaits you and the joy that could come from encountering God. This is actually something that I'm going to start thinking a little bit more about, because church can often feel like yet one more thing on that checklist, you know, something to check off the to-do list. And yet, our relationship with God is life-changing. So, trying to have a different mindset doesn't mean that we're never going to be grumpy or running late or thinking of a million different things or anxious about something or wanting to spend time with our puppies or our husbands or whatever. But if we think about our worship experiences, no matter what they are, as encountering God, meeting God in God's holy place, how might that change those experiences? As I mentioned, I was grumpy that morning before church, but when I got there, it was Youth Sunday, with the children sharing their experience from their recent kids camp. And there were children reading the lessons, and there were children participating in sermon time. In the sermon time, they told their stories, and one of the little girls who read the lesson had the most adorable lisp, and so it made me engage even more in the reading, because I had to listen a little more carefully to make sure I was hearing how she was reading, and she did a great job. So the children were reading the lessons and participating in the sermon, as well as sharing music that they had helped to write the words or create gestures for during their week at kids camp. I arrived a little tired and a little grumpy, but then I encountered God through the beautiful faces of God's children, who come in all ages, of course, but in this case were the faces of actual children. And I was reminded of God's love for me and the promises that God makes to me, and I was given the gift of those reminders. And so I'm going to think more about this idea of offering my best self to God, of that picture of myself as my best self when I go to worship, knowing that I will be encountering God. After all, God always presents God's best self to me, so shouldn't I at least attempt to do the same? I'm not always going to succeed in this, and thankfully, even when I am at less than my best, I will still encounter God. I will still be transformed by God's love and God's promises. I will still be a child of God. But what if I can take a little time and make a more conscious effort? Not like that checking off of things to do, although if you're like me and you like checklists, that can be a positive thing, but it doesn't mean it's one more thing to check off the cosmic to-do list, because God doesn't have one of those. It's not some effort to be perfect in order to win God's love, because I personally don't believe that's how God works. Instead, if I'm more conscious about going to worship, going to encounter God, and again, going to encounter God, going to worship, this can be any number of things. This can be actually going to church. This can be going to Bible study. This can be your own personal prayer time. It can be meeting a friend to talk about your faith, etc. It's a chance to encounter God, because we do encounter God through other people. And so maybe if I'm more conscious of these things, maybe if I'm more conscious of maybe if I'm more conscious that I could be encountering God, I'll be more open. I'll be more open to God's promises, to God's love, and maybe even to my own transformation, because I am being open. Maybe then I will take that love, those promises, and my own transformation more consciously back out into the world with me, where I can then share it with others, where I can continue to encounter God through the faces of God's children, and where others can encounter God through me. As I said, this is definitely something that I want to think more about, and I'm wondering if you will think more about it as well and share your experiences with me. So I asked at the beginning of this podcast where you encounter God and how you experience God's timing, and I would love to hear from you. As I always mention at the end of the podcasts, you can follow me on Twitter at GSMC_Bible Study. And so if you want to share an experience of God's timing or a way that you've encountered God, I would love to hear about it. So find me on social media and let me know of your experiences. And that is actually, unfortunately, all of the time that we have for this week. Thank you so much, as always, for joining me. as we discuss the readings from Genesis 18 and from Psalm 15 that were assigned for the lectionary of the week of July 17th, 2016. Join me again on Sunday, on tomorrow, as we move to the second set of readings, the New Testament readings from Colossians and from Colossians 6, excuse me, and from Luke chapter 10. As always, as a reminder, you can find all of the Golden State Media Concepts podcasts at www.gsmcpodcast.com. You can download our podcasts on iTunes, Google Play, SoundCloud, and any app that you can download podcasts on. You can find us. Just type in GSMC and all of our podcasts will come up. You can also follow us on social media. I mentioned Twitter earlier. You can follow us on Facebook, Tumblr, Instagram, all kinds of places, depending on where you like to be on social media. So come and find us, whether it's to download the podcast or follow us on social media. We would love for you to come and find us. And thank you so much for joining me again. And always remember that you are a beloved child of God.